This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Woo-hoo! Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It is 26 minutes to 7. It is Thursday morning. You are on Joy 94.9 with a Toku.
Oh, guys, I'm so excited. It's sunny. It's 13 degrees. This beat just happened. I timed that right.
It takes so little to make Harry, like, just glow with joy. I am feeling ecstatic, and that is a surprise, considering last night I went to a Christmas dinner that was like a five-course wine-matching thing, so I can't tell.
Oh.
This is not the brag intro.
Sorry. Anyway.
You are with Harry Hunter and Chris this morning. We've got a lot coming up. We've got date night. I want to talk Neighbours from Hell.
Oh, I went to a festival the weekend. And I went back to church, guys.
Literally back
happened.
To church.
It happened.
Also,
did she burst into flames?
We'll find out later. Yes. Also, I need some advice on how to downsize my belongings before my big move. And also, TV.
Speaking of downsizing, you're wearing 8 bracelets.
Yeah.
So 7 of them could go.
Oh.
You have all the room in the world.
I will have you know that 5 of these are just one thing.
Friendship ones.
I have 5 whole friends.
Missed your favourite show? Head to the new Joy website and click on podcasts to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. joy.org.au.
It's the tag team with Harry Hunter and Chris.
Thanks, guys. Now, good morning. It is a beautiful day out there. So good. Chris, it's so nice you wore shorts.
Yeah. Sun's out, bum guns out.
Bum guns. Great. Now, you know how me talking to strangers, especially on planes, isn't a thing?
Yes, and I think you should stick with that, and Hunter thinks that you should embrace it and talk to more strangers.
A stranger is just a friend you haven't met yet.
Okay.
Or a murderer you're yet to be the victim of.
Yeah.
But indeed, there's no way of finding out unless you approach them.
Well,
you could have found out without them approaching you, I suppose, but
you wouldn't, not from the dark. Anyway, I was standing at the lights yesterday, and there was an awful driver at the lights. There was an awful driver, cars beeped. And just as I was giving it a tut in my head and trying to gesture wildly to my friends at how awful this driver was, I locked eyes with a stranger. And have you ever done that thing where you lock eyes and then you're thinking exactly the same thing?
Yes.
So I was like, oh, should have taken his license off him. And he went, you're not wrong.
Where'd he get his license? A pack of Wheaties.
And he went, yeah, you're not wrong. I was like, can't believe that. He's like, yeah, me neither. You have a good day. I was like, you have a good day too.
Oh, so one person's incompetence brought two other people together.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Wow. That's like a meet cute. That's like, there are romantic comedies that start with less of a premise than that. So that's a beautiful thing.
But I took the risk. Because usually I would have made eye contact and be like, there's someone weird looking at me.
No, I think if somebody's behind, and this, it always happens when one person, it happens on public transport a lot. When there's an outrageous, crazy person in public transport, it bonds everybody else together, doesn't
it?
Yes. In a speechless unity.
But the thing is, Harry, this person.
Yeah.
Like, what's their name? What do they do? Where were they going?
I don't know. Just an old man that thought.
So you didn't capitalise on this newfound bond and, like, make a new friend.
I didn't give him a bracelet, Chris.
Okay.
Chris could have given you one of his 19 friendship bracelets.
These are not friendship bracelets.
Go on, you've got some there.
Says,
give Harry 5 and this week you can give them out throughout the week.
BFF on them.
BFFFFF. Yeah. Give it to Harry, and she can give them out throughout the week, and then next week she'll bring all her 5 in, and we'll interview them one by one, and then she'll decide who she wants to be best friends for life,
and then I'll murder the rest.
And she'll give them a friendship bracelet in sort of like a rose ceremony.
Oh, that's
okay.
Yeah,
I like it.
Right,
it's like the Bachelor, but for Harry's crazies.
They will give it them to you,
right?
And then it'll be a full circle thing. Hunter,
no, wait,
I think you'll
no,
just be
no,
the
no,
host.
No, 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 no,
oh,
no, no.
Thank you. I can be Osher for sure.
Yeah. No. because this has just turned into a place where five strangers come up to me and try to talk to me. So, no, I am now against this plan.
What did the driver do that was so awful, Harry?
Oh, it was just a bloody idiot. He tried to go around a car at lights.
Yeah.
And then ended up being stuck in the middle of an intersection when the other lights were green, so all the cars were beeping.
What a fool. What a fool.
Just impatient. Like, well, the light's red for a reason.
You've turned that frown upside down, haven't you? You found your own way. You're on the tag team on Joy 94.9.
Oh, guys. Can we just quickly, can we talk about what happened with Princess Beatrice?
Yes, we can.
Oh, wasn't that a cracking
story? Oh, I love that.
Okay,
so hard.
So if you don't know what happened, Princess Beatrice was going to knight someone.
Not just anyone.
No, someone else.
James Blunt.
James Blunt! So she was going to knight James Blunt, which is a mistake in and of itself.
No, and also, let's be clear, she wasn't formally knighting someone. They were having a piss up at the palace and she got out Dad's shiny sword. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
Off the wall.
Close your eyes. Open them.
Like, guys, who wants to see me hold the sword?
I'm going to knight James Blunt.
Guys, help me get this down. I'm going to hold the sword.
You should kneel. Kneel and I'll... Anyway, so she did that. He kneeled in front of her. She swung the sword behind her head. Like a golf club to knight him and sliced Ed Sheeran's face off.
Excellent.
Oh,
excellent.
That poor bloke.
A lot of redheads at that party, wasn't there?
Well, yes.
A lot of redheads at that party.
Had they gathered specifically?
It was a royal ranger festival.
Do you think Fergie was just sitting upstairs watching TV in her room?
No, I don't think so. I think that Fergie was right there on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
This was a redheaded party,
darling,
she was standing...
Darling, use the good sword, darling.
She was in the middle of the room with her arms out going, my people!
I'm a real mum. I'm a cool mum, not a real mum. Take mum's sword.
Oh, you girls keep me young.
So, Princess Beatrice really sliced into Ed Sheeran's cheek.
Now, is Beatrice the one that wore the toilet hat to the wedding?
That's Eugenie.
That's Eugenie.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that Fergie calls her Eugenie?
Eugenie.
Is that what Fergie thinks her name? Is that what the name was intended to be, Eugenie?
I think Fergie woke up after like 5 years of being drunk and was like, oh my God, we've called our daughter Eugenie.
Yeah.
Can we change it? No, you can't change it. Well, we come up with a new pronunciation.
Eugenie.
Yeah,
Eugenie.
Oh, God. She has a slim fast for breakfast, one for lunch, and Eugenie.
It's pretty naughty, though. Did you guys get up to naughty stuff like that at parties when you were... Well, they're not that young, though. I'm thinking they're teenagers, but they're in their
30s. They're in their 30s. And I have, as a rule, not really grabbed that many ceremonial swords off walls and tried to knight people.
I do have a bow and arrow at home that I had some fun with. Nothing regal, but I shot it a few times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
At people at the party?
Yeah, well, I did. I once shot it at our wooden fence because it's a bow and arrow. It went straight through the wooden fence into the backyard. And I thought, God, that could have killed someone. And then another time, I'm very young, just so you know, I'm about 10 doing this. I shot my bow and arrow in our backyard, in our like suburban, very small backyard. Shot the bow and arrow straight up in the air. And it just disappeared. And then I was like, where is it? And then this is me and my cousin, poked our heads over the fence next door to an empty paddock. And what I saw was like a 4-year-old. Holding the arrow and holding hands with his dad walking away. And I was like, instead of being like, well, dodgeable there, I was like, hey, hey, don't steal our arrow. Don't steal our arrow. I was like, that's mine. And then we went and grabbed it and the dad went ballistic at us.
What?
Yeah.
Did it hit them or something?
See, thank God we have charter gun laws in Australia because if that was an American kid, that would be a story about a gun.
Just imagine that dad just yelling at you, just going, how dare you fight? You could have cut Ed Sheeran's cheek.
Yeah.
That's what you want to be, though. If you're going to be in the royal family, you want to be a minor royal like those guys.
Where you can just act up and have fun.
We've got the money, you've got the swords, and you've got the time.
Exactly.
That's what you want.
Anyone else feeling that this could be a great launch pad for a reboot of the movie Face Off? Starring Ed Sheeran and James Blunt? Actually, no, I don't want to see that. I don't.
That'd be a rough deal for James Blunt too, wouldn't it?
Oh, God.
It'd be a rough deal with it for all people involved in
James
that.
James Blunt's sexy to look at.
Okay, I gotta go. this show is over. It's the tag team with Harry and Hunter because Chris has left because blah.
You're on the tag team this morning with Harry, Hunter and Chris. And if Hunter carries on the way he's going, I mean, you're going to fall out today.
It's a beautiful day out there, guys. It's 14 degrees at the moment. We're heading for a top of 24 and we have got a cracker of a show. I want to talk soon near-death experiences because you're lucky to have me this week.
Really?
Oh, yes. I came close to the precipice, my friends, and I'm going to tell you all about it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm close to a near-death experience. If I don't get rid of some of my crap, when it's time for me to move, I'm going to die under a pile of it.
You might be trapped under it.
Yeah, I'm going to trapped under it. Yeah,
trapped under it.
Yeah, like a cat skeleton in those hoarders shows. That'd be me.
Animal Hoarders is my favorite show.
And surprise, surprise, I went to a festival last weekend, guys, and I need to debrief.
You can't get enough of them.
Can you just stay home one weekend? Just sit on your couch.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Was that? Okay, that's me being excited.
Did you just step on a bit of Lego? What happened then?
That was my trying to do my excited yell, but also I'm a little bit in pain. I hurt my knee when I threw myself to the ground before laughing at Hunter's joke.
Oh yeah, that's a great. It was a great reaction. That's what I like about you. Always deliver a great reaction. Look, coming up, guys. I want to tell you about Neighbours from Hell. I've experienced firsthand a bloody corker, and you're not going to regret it.
And Harry, you've been to a festival again.
Again, and guys, got to unpack it. It was.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
Last weekend,
yeah,
I went to a festival because you know I am mad for a festival.
It's sort of your new thing. You've been 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, I think this is like the fourth festival of the year.
Is it really?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
And festival season has only
festival.
Just begun.
That yoga thing you went to, you wouldn't call a festival, would you?
I would absolutely call it a festival.
Really?
It's not a retreat?
No, it was a festival.
A festival?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was like there was pop-up tents.
Was there sniffer dogs?
No.
I think if there's no sniffer dogs, it's not a festival. Had people been shredding for it?
Yeah.
I'm shredding for Yoga Fest 2016.
I bet they were. Have you seen people who do yoga a lot?
Yeah, they just come shredded, don't
they're
they?
They're already shredded.
Yeah, so my mistake.
If you're not following, if you don't know what a festival is, it's basically camping with annoying stuff in the way.
loud music.
And so what was this weekend's festival?
It was up in Lake Mountain, which I didn't realise, but it's a ski resort.
Oh,
so it's
lovely.
Very, very high up.
Yes.
And very cold.
Luckily, though, it's pretty much summer, so it would have been lovely. How was it?
Yeah, it was -1.
Oh! Yeah. Because the truth is, most Australian camping equipment that you buy from, like, cheapo shops is not really equipped for actual awfully cold weather.
Goodness, no.
Well, everybody'd set up their camps, and then Holly and I got there, and we're like, ooh, I think we'll just probably sleep in the car.
You slept in the car.
Yeah, and to be honest, sleeping in a car is a bit of an illusion. It's not that much. It's not particularly like warm when you sleep in a car, right?
No.
Is it still cold in there?
It was a lot warmer than it was outside.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We were glad in the end that we managed to do that. And we set up. It was actually really nice because the seats, you know, we put the seats down and like the swag in there. So it was pretty cozy.
I don't believe you because unless it was a very, very large car, you're still an adult-sized person.
Yeah,
she has a huge car.
Oh, okay. In that case, great.
She has a Land Rover. Is it a Land Rover?
Yeah.
She's in that case,
picture like a wealthy English woman who like made her money in the city, but then bought a country estate somewhere out of Oxford.
Yeah,
and just uses it to go to Waitrose and back on the weekend. That's what Harry drives,
like the Queen's Jeep.
Like the Queen's Jeep, almost exactly the same. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So almost exactly.
Almost, she's essentially a royal.
So you slept in the Queen's Jeep, and did the coldness and the discomfort detract from the rest of the festival?
No, well, guys, I think I was a bit out of my depth because it was so cool.
Yeah.
As well, the clientele were very cool.
Oh, so it wasn't just cold, but cool.
It was very cool. And I was a bit intimmy, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I was a bit intimmy. But everybody, it was the most inclusive festival I've ever been at. Everybody was super friendly, so I think it was maybe just me.
Oh, good, good.
I printed off one of the signs and stuck it up in work.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
really?
That was just all about having fun and like living life. It was very motivational.
Good.
Hunter, if you'd have scrolled past it on Insta, you would have given
it
a heart.
I would have liked it. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear you survived yet another festival, Harry.
Can we just circle back around to a thing you said earlier when you're talking about the festival being cool? Like, it was just a few seconds ago where you used the word intimmy.
Yeah.
That's short for intimidated, right?
Yeah.
Why did you say intimmy?
That's what it is.
You sure, no, it's fair. Like, I was in Timmy once. Timmy did not care for it. That's it. I'm leaving. I can't come back from that.
It does beg the question why you were in there if you wasn't so up for it. But you make your own choices.
Please don't unpack that.
Missed your favourite show? Head to the new Joy website and click on podcasts to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. joy.org.au.
You're on another tag team this morning with Harry Hunter and Crust.
Now, guys, as you know, I'm preparing for a big move early next year.
Yes. You are going to move to Trump's America.
Yeah. And when you say it like that, it makes me sound very sad.
It makes it sound correctly as though you waited to make sure he won before you decided that's where I need to be. I need to see this in action. I need to see my people take power. Yeah. And now you're headed to America.
I say make Chris great again.
Make Chris great again.
Oh, if only. Many have tried. So here's the thing, though. As we prepare, I need to pack up and organise my stuff and get rid of a bunch of stuff. Now, I am really good at packing and moving. I have moved house. I don't know if you know this, but I've moved house 60 times.
Woohoo!
Wow.
And so at this point, I am well-versed in packing, but what I'm not... That's just like boxing up your stuff and taking it to a new place. Yeah. I have got to get rid of everything except whatever fits inside two suitcases. Oh. And I have spent a long time, like, clawing my way into the middle class, acquiring stuff.
Oh, yeah. It started at the bottom. Now you're at the, you know, middle bottom.
Middle bottom.
Yeah. Upwardly mobile bottom. Eager bottom. Exactly. Started at the bottom. Now you're in eager bottom.
That's what it says on my dating profile. Now, I need to... How do I do this? How do I get rid of my stuff that I've spent so long accumulating? What do you do? How do you...
Well, it's easy. If you've got two suitcases, that means you throw out everything but clothes. What other options do you have?
Pretty much.
No. See, I think you have to take some sentimental stuff. Like pictures.
So, and here's the thing, though, right? So I have got two not insignificant-sized cross-stitches that my mother did.
You've got to wrap it up in something to put in a box into storage with the cross-stitches.
I don't want to take it, but my mother has been at me, like, non-stop about taking them with me.
Oh, well, then you have to lie. Where does your sister live? Give them to her.
In where my mum visits regularly.
Yeah, give them to her. She can hide them under the bed. You can't be taking life-size cross-stitches to America.
Like, just wrap them in something, Christopher.
Are they funny?
No.
What are they pictures
They're
of?
They're lovely.
Are they pictures of you in cross-stitch?
No, one is of... I'm actually not saying what they are, because...
Say it.
One is of a wizard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which I quite liked.
Big is his wand?
And what's the other?
Tropical fish.
Oh, very traditional cross-stitch.
Was that based on the film Finding Nemo?
No.
Novel by Push?
This was done in the late 1980s. How dare you?
Oh, okay.
This is a cutting edge.
Oh, yeah.
So, sorry, just to be clear, we've spent a lot of time talking about your love life on this show and what may be stopping you from finding the man in your dreams. And at no point have you mentioned that you have cross-stitch hanging on your walls.
Is that not good?
It's not very sexy.
Oh.
No.
So you...
If I was having sex with you in your bedroom, I would only be looking at the cross-stitch.
If anything, that would be a bonus to me.
There you'd be rutting over me trying to improve it by saying, my mum did it.
Never sway like that again, Hunter.
Sorry.
That was... Yeah. Which part? The rutting and my mum, or the part where Hunter and I are having sex?
All of it.
That's fair.
Okay, so once the cross-stitch goes, I think you have plenty of room and we've solved your problem.
Yeah, great. That makes me feel a lot better about things. So, step one, cross-stitch is gone.
Yeah. Well, you can just grab a group of your most honest friends, give them some red little circle stickers, and anything you find a red circle sticker on is to chuck.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I thought you said we could keep.
No, to chat.
No, I'm doing that, though. I have friends coming over tonight to watch a movie, and while they're there, they're going through all of my DVDs and taking them away.
That's weird. I didn't remember being invited to that.
Yeah, I don't know. Am I busy tonight?
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
I got some sad news, actually. The Age is reporting, everybody, that the Greyhound Hotel in St Kilda is going to be bulldozed, and they're going to put up an 8-story apartment block top of it.
Devastating.
In which apartment will Bianca Del Rio perform in when she comes to town?
I'm sure they'll have a premiere apartment for Bianca.
Oh, that's really sad.
That's a cultural tragedy. That's what it is. But, you know, it is good because what... I think we'd all agree that what Melbourne does need is more small apartments.
Definitely. There's been a severe lack.
Yes. Meanwhile, we've been struggling through a glut of old gay venues.
Yeah, so exactly.
We need to carve that out.
Even that balance.
The article says that Fairfax Media understands a permit has already been granted for the demolition of the 160-year-old Greyhound Hotel.
Oh, that's so sad.
That is a crying shame.
It feels quite sneaky. Mm.
Yeah.
just never heard about it before now, but apparently it's all underway.
Well, they haven't got a quote from the managers yet. It says the pub, it's got the owners of the pub listed here, and it says that they've not responded for comments. So maybe there's still a chance it not be true, but it doesn't look like good news for the Greyhound Hotel and for gay venues in Melbourne.
Should we go undercover and get like a camera lapel and try and find out what's going on?
Yeah.
Start our own investigation.
Absolutely. Yeah. With someone for information.
That is, yeah. It is what the tag team has been missing to an investigative department.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Shay, are you busy? You finished uni at the
moment.
Yeah,
no, I'm done. I'm busy. Free time.
It's got nothing but time.
Nothing but
all
time.
All right, we'll dress you up as a developer maybe. Like, yes. Hey, I'm Shay the developer. Thanks, Shay.
Do you guys like the Queen as well?
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right. And rumble we shall when we discuss near-death experiences.
Oh, yes. Stay tuned, guys, because I'm lucky to be here this week. I'm going to tell you why. And we've got a great prize to give away. It's a double pass to the Culture Club concert, and you don't want to miss that. Stick with us. You're on the tag team on Joy.
Missed your favourite show? Head to the new Joy website and click on podcasts to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. Joy.org.au.
You were very excited, but you killed it.
Stone dead.
Stone dead. And speaking of death, guys, I want to talk to you about near-death experiences. Because take me in. Have a look at me. Drink me in, guys. I'm a tall glass of water.
I'm not gonna take you anywhere.
Take me in, Harry.
No.
I am a tall glass of water.
Well, I'm full.
The point is, I'm lucky to be here because a couple of days ago, I was driving down the Eastern Freeway. You guys may have heard of it. You may recognise Eastern Freeway from my traffic report.
Is it the one that's often jammed and slammed?
Yeah, but today it's looking not too bad. 19 minutes from Go to Woe. I was driving down the Eastern.
Yeah.
And I was about 40 metres behind a truck. A medium to large truck.
Yeah.
So you were a safe distance.
Safe distance.
Two chevrons.
The truck indicates that it's going to leave the freeway.
Yeah.
And Great. Then it leaves the freeway.
Sure.
So there's like an exit lane and yep. it goes off into suburbia somewhere, yep. right? And as it leaves the freeway, it's completely left my lane. I just happen to glance down the exit lane and what do I bloody see? A car coming the wrong way down the exit lane at high speed onto the freeway, right? So as I look and see it and freak out, the truck also freaks out and I see this like smoke come out from the wheels and then the whole truck spins
no.
around and then accelerates and it comes back barreling towards me across grass. So the whole truck is like shaking around and it's coming for me and this I'm getting like life flashing before my yep. eyes.
Are we in it?
Huh?
Do we make
no, you didn't get a mention. No,
really?
No, you didn't.
Get a flag.
That is,
no,
that is rough, Hunter.
No,
that is
you didn't.
Rough.
Yeah. No. So the truck's barreling towards you. So, light flashing.
Not it's all about you, Babs. And then it comes in front of me, hooning in front of me. The truck's essentially out of control. It goes in front of me, and then it crosses all three lanes of the freeway, and then turns back and comes back along. And then I don't remember what happened to the car that was trying to get onto the freeway down the exit lane. I remember looking in my mirror, and it was indicating, like, trying to get onto the freeway. But then everybody involved, me, another car, and the truck, all just had to pull over for a timeout.
Really? Yeah.
A timeout and relax.
Did you yeah. talk to the any?
No talking.
Oh, you just sat in your car hyperventilating yep. into a carrier bag?
Into a carrier bag, yeah. How's that though?
Jeez.
Imagine driving down the wrong, exit
right,
at high speed too.
Do you know what? They chuck up giant signs now to say wrong way, go back.
Because this, I don't want to say, this isn't a joke, but it is almost quite easy to do that.
Yeah.
If you're on like a bridge that goes over a freeway, for instance, sometimes, depending on the configuration of the road, sometimes your brain does almost try and take you down the wrong lane.
Yeah,
it's not always clear.
What you're saying.
Yeah. I'll have to draw a diagram. It's a bit of a visual thing, but sometimes you can do it. And this person obviously did it.
So you came close to that. Did you have that thing? Because, you know, no one's in a real hurry to meet their end. But is that moment when something horrible happens and you're having a near-death experience where your brain just goes, oh, this is how I die. Huh. Interesting. Did you have that moment?
No, but I did think, I won't have to do a lot of that stuff I've been, you know. Won't have to do that paperwork I've been working on, you know.
Well, at least you're pragmatic.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
What I did notice was that even though everything was happening at a high speed, it did seem to be kind of happening in slow motion.
Yes.
Super slow motion, but your brain is so finely tuned that you're taking in every frame of it and it does seem to slow it down, like a cat catching a mouse.
Well, sometimes if I drop a piece of toast... That's what happens. You know, like, you're like, no.
And breakfast then it, death. It's near breakfast death experience.
And then you've put avocado on it, and it's like the best thing ever. Yeah. And you've put a cheeky bit of Vegemite underneath. And then you drop it, and then in slow motion, you everything watch it falls fall. And you're like, not the toast.
A little bit offended by your comparison there to literal near-death experience compared to dropping a toast.
After that happened with Harry's toast, she had to stop for a minute, pull over the side of the road and have a moment.
I had to sit down at the breakfast bar and take a moment. Chris, have you ever had a near-death experience?
Hang on, I want to give away, can we give away this prize first?
Oh, go on then.
Guys, we want to hear your near-death experiences and we got a Kraken prize. If you tell us how you cheated death, we will give you a double pass to the Culture Club Encore Tour. It's a general admission tickets and it's on Saturday the 11th of December at 6 p.m. Hot off the back of sold out shows and rave reviews across the US and Australia, Culture Club are returning to our shores for another run of shows. Australia adores Culture Club. Chris, you love them.
I sure do.
Name a hit for us.
Karma Chameleon.
Both of the mayhem really and success me? Of their June tour has cemented our love affair with the iconic pop band. I was going to say duo, but they're a band.
They're a band.
And that's important to know.
And Chris, who's the lead singer?
That dude, Boy George.
Oh. Boy George. Oh,
whoa,
back.
That
Boy
was close. George. My brain
you
was like...
Get around us, guys. Those tickets are thanks to One World Entertainment, and we have two of them. So hit us up, 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. How did you cheat death?
Or your friend.
Or your friend. Yeah, just give us the distro. If you want the tickets, make it up. We're all over it. You're on the tag team on Joy. We're talking near-death experiences, guys, because if you missed it, I'm lucky to be here after nearly being taken out.
Do you know what? There was a near-death experience during the musical I was in a couple of weeks ago.
From the audience.
Oh, how?
When your pants
dare
split.
You? When my pants split, the audience saw it and they're like, heart attacks across the board. No, there is a moment in the show where a woman is supposed to just appear in...
Sorry,
in...
I'm still laughing at my own sick burn.
Yeah, shut up. There is a moment in the show where a woman's supposed to just appear in my character's bed. So what was happening is that
That'll do it.
Hunter! Bit of shush, please.
He is. He's cry laughing.
Yeah, I'm going to send
he's
him.
Cry laughing.
I'm going to send him out of the room. So she
did experience the poor woman that played.
No,
play Chris's love.
Oh, thank
there
you.
There were two of them.
There were three of them.
Oh, he went through three cast members and two understudies.
When you
okay, sorry.
When you're quite done.
Sorry,
so she has to just appear in my character's bed. So she, what was happening is she was being carried on stage, like under a blanket, so that it was in the dark. You couldn't really see what was happening.
She didn't have to look at you, yeah.
Harry, do you want to join Hunter in the timeout corner, or we just okay, right? So this one night they had changed crew members. The person who regularly carried her on wasn't there. Someone else carried her on, and halfway onto the stage, he'd lost his footing. And started to fall, and then thinking, okay, I'm carrying a woman under a blanket in my arms, who, by the way, without her glasses, is half blind and never performs in glasses.
Sorry, I haven't been paying close attention. Why didn't she just walk on?
No, because you've been laughing at your own crap.
Why didn't she just walk on?
I don't... Look, you know what? In hindsight, we never figured out why.
Okay, sure.
In hindsight, it was...
Well, she's just very demanding. Carry me on.
It was the dumbest decision ever made to have her carried on. But she was being carried on. And so there's this guy, as he's falling with a woman under a blanket in the dark, he goes, I know what I'll do. I'll turn so that she falls on me, not me falling on her.
Very chivalrous.
Yes.
Very chivalrous.
But all that did was kind of torpedo her like a bullet out of a gun. It just rotated her and flung her into the bed to which she's supposed to land on. And she landed head first into the side of the bed, hit the ground, and blacked out.
Here's my question for you, Chris. I don't know if you've heard the old showbiz adage, the show must go on.
Yeah.
Now, I know you told us some thrilling stories about how your microphone stopped working, but you just sang right through it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
your pants split.
You just keep going.
Kept going.
So no matter what, you just keep going. That's the rule, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
She should have got up.
If... No. That's... Sorry. What I want to know is, if one of your cast members literally died on stage, would you just sing through it? Would you just keep going? Because the audience, you know what they say, even the people in the cheap seats pay for their tickets.
Yeah,
I would.
You keep singing,
I absolutely would.
And you just see her getting dragged off from
absolutely
the side.
Absolutely would. Yeah. But this is the thing. So when it first happened, in those first few seconds, because apparently it was a good 5 seconds she was out, and the guy who had dropped her was like, well, I've killed someone in front of 300 people.
Yeah, no,
that's
denying
not
this.
A good look. I can't get out of this. But do you know what? What happened? She woke up, got up, climbed into the bed, and sang her song. She just kept going on. Had to be kind of carried off stage again by the end, but by God, she rallied.
Well, it didn't make sense to carry on. To carry off would have seemed fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So for the rest of the run of the show, just FYI, she walked on.
Okay.
Yeah, they improved that process.
My gran, not Nan, my Nan talk Nan, my other one, my grandma, she, her toast got stuck in the toaster, so she thought it would be a good idea to get in there with a knife.
Oh, no.
and jam about in there. Didn't turn it off at the point.
Just
went
right in
straight
there.
In with the bread knife, pointy knife, and hit the electrical thing and flew across the kitchen.
Did she?
Electrocuted herself.
All the neighbours would have been talking.
Got up. The toast was still stuck. Got up. Did it again.
What? Was she flown across the room again, or did she get the toast out the second time?
She was a lot more careful, a lot more diligent. Still didn't turn it off.
Oh, my God. Oh,
see, life's cruel. Some people are taken too soon, and then there's people like that who survive against all reason.
Continually jamming knives in toasters.
That's my nan.
Sorry. Yeah, but she did it twice, Harry.
Wow, Hunter's got a mean streak today.
He really does. It's a shirt.
She's like the hamster that keeps biting the electronic grain.
Your near-death experience has made you mean.
Well, so be it. I've seen the other side, Chris, and now I know that life is fragile.
If you've got any near-death experiences, 0427JOY949, or shoot us an email on air@joy.org.au. You could win a prize.
We've got a double pass to Culture Club, and we're going to he or she who has defied death the best. You are on the tag team. It's 6 minutes to eight. You're on Joy.
You are with the tag team this morning, Harry, Hunter and Chris.
We have been talking near-death experiences here, and good news... we're giving away a double pass to Culture Club to Bradley. Congratulations,
Congrats,
Brad.
Bradley.
Brad says he cheated death as a four-year-old child when somebody failed to give way at a crossroads and hit his mum's car. He was thrown out of the car and under the other car, got taken to hospital with a cracked skull. But you made it, and it's all paid off because now you're going to Culture Club. So congratulations.
Well done. Totally worth that cracked skull.
It was worth that cracked skull.
It's the tag team with Harry, Hunter and Chris. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. It is the tag team, but you may be mistaken for thinking that you tuned in to Today Tonight because I want to talk Neighbours from Hell.
Oh.
Neighbours from Hell. Everybody's had one. If you've got one, get in touch. Tell us your story. I went to Sydney last week and I went with Drew around to his sister's joint. And they have a famous neighbour from hell.
Really?
Let me describe it. I think she's... a Russian lady. I'd say she's between 70 and 80, and she's had an ongoing, many years long feud with both of her neighbours. So Drew's sister, so she's sort of like scorned by her, but it's the other side where the fight really exists. They had a fight about fencing one day, so the Russian lady went out there and tore down the fence. So now there's no fence between the feuding ones. So we're out there having a bit of wine time in the backyard by the pool.
Wine time!
That's great. And then we hear her going on, and I was like, oh, there she is. Now, Drew's nephews, Leo and Ollie, are like going to a tease. They're like up at the fence, up on the trampoline, bouncing up and down so they can get a clear look at her. She goes into a full-on rage. They have a screaming back and forth. And then the neighbour, who's between 70 and 80, drops her pants and flashes a brown eye.
Drew's sister?
No, the other neighbours. But we all saw it through the fence. And honestly, if you haven't watched two 10-year-old boys watch a 70-year-old woman drop a Mooney, you haven't lived.
I clearly haven't.
The vibe was electric in the backyard.
As a curtain twitcher myself, like that is something that you don't want to see.
That is solid gold.
Oh, but also something you don't want to miss.
Absolutely.
Oh. What great entertainment in the backyard every day. Although it is every day. It's quite relentless.
But how... Wow. At no age has it occurred to me that the ideal way to end or seal an argument would be to, as you put it, flash a brown eye.
Well, maybe you've just not been angry enough.
Maybe I haven't. But
maybe you've not reached the peak of Olga.
Where, do you know what? I know how to get you back. I'm going to show you my butt. That'll show you.
Yeah,
like,
that'll show you, neighbour. Yeah.
Is it because it's
then you'll
a
be
good
sorry,
one, or it's just like what is the message?
Oh, like, you think like she's saying
you'll never get this?
Like you think she's showing it off?
Yeah,
because it's like, a good
like,
one,
look
as
at
you
this.
Said.
Yeah, you know, I keep it tight. Like, look
this
at
is
that.
One of Russia's finest.
Yeah, catch a load of this, you stupid neighbours.
Another time, she was chopping down Drew's sister's branches and throwing them into the yard. So then she would throw them back, and they had this sort of war going back and forth. And then they went. Drew's sister went over to confront her, and the Russian lady. He hit her. Yeah, and they had to call the police. The popo had to come shut her down.
Wow.
What? I know. She's
crazy.
Out of control, guys.
That is out of control.
It's bad.
Yep.
You've had a very similar neighbour, didn't you?
Yeah, in my previous place, my share house, I had the can crusher. She was an old Italian lady. Chris.
And she would crush cans for
She'd
fun.
Cash them, crush them, whatever she could
we
do.
We think
to them.
She was compacting as many as possible so she could pop them into the Camry, drive over to South Australia and get 5 cents per can.
Well, yeah. I mean,
but
value.
You know when like because old people can't sleep, so they just do menial tasks at like 4 a.m.
Yes.
So she would fill up a big, like 64-liter plastic tub, fill it a quarter with water, put 200 cans in there, and just swish them around just to clean them crushing them.
You've got to keep them clean.
Menial tasks.
You've got to keep them clean.
And then one day, it got too much.
Sorry to interrupt you, but wasn't it Christmas Day?
It was Christmas Day. It got too much, and I.
What time was she crushing it, Bobby?
4:30 in the morning.
In the morning,
on Christmas Day. Let's do a reenactment, Harry. Okay, I'll be the. This is what happened. I'll be the can crusher, right? So, Merry Christmas, crush.
Oi!
Oh, hello, beautiful lady. Thank you for saying good morning.
No, I work hard. No, it's Christmas Day. You stop what you're doing. No.
She just kept saying.
Is that what you did?
She kept saying, I work hard.
And she was going, oh, senorita, bambino. Oh. And then when I moved out, who was on the front doorstep waving me off? Oh, too noisy for you. Yeah, it is too noisy for me. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yes, it is. That is correct statements. Well done to you. India.
If you had a Neighbours from Hell, let us know. 0427 Joy 949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. You're on the tag team on Joy.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
Guys, what ho? Is that the sound of sleigh bells I hear? Here it comes. One, two, three, four.
Jingle bells.
Guys, Merry Christmas. It is Christmas AF on this station.
It's not really
Christmas,
though. It's December. Summer today. We're celebrating summer today.
I would never tell you that it's not Christmas.
What if it was in May?
Well, happy Merry Christmas.
Do you know what? For some of us, it has been Christmas season since the minute Halloween ended. It's just that now, December 1st, it's legitimate and people can stop complaining about it. Because I've had this music on loop.
So you've been celebrating the wrong holiday since an imaginary holiday in November.
Oh my God, Grandma. But yes, I have, yes.
And happy holidays to everybody else too.
Well, what can I say? I'm outvoted 2-1, so it's bloody Christmas.
Yeah!
Get around it.
Guys.
I am planning to be home this year.
Ooh.
For the first time in 3 years.
Ooh.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, family Christmas. I'm doing a family Christmas.
Now, is it a big do when you have family Christmas? You got a big family?
No.
Just
mum. It's my mum, my sister.
Your stepdad? Your stepdad?
Yeah. My mum's partner. Don't call him my stepdad. That made my skin want to fall off. Everyone's partners, lots of friends, and then all mum's gal pals and stuff.
Nice!
Yeah, a bit of a collection.
Are the Holy Rollers coming?
Oh no, mum's thinking she might be done with the Holy Rollers. Yeah. That's mum's Christian motorcycle group that she joins, even though she's not a Christian. If you're a new listener to the show,
well, I am
just to open their eyes while they pray.
You know how I went to church last week, and I wasn't really that fussed on going.
Oh yes, so you had to go to church, and you were terrified.
Yeah, and I went to church.
Did you burst into flames?
Didn't burst into flames. But I did keep my eyes open for all the prayers.
Yes.
Because I was like, no, not buying into that. Yeah. I'm going to do...
That's when the God gets in.
Yeah. And then I was like, I'm going to say what I want to say and do what I want to do. And
you
then,
didn't say something, did you?
Throughout the ceremony, I heckled.
Yeah. Made some speeches.
Get
bullshit! Went up, blew all the candles out.
No, that's disrespectful, even to joke about.
Yeah. I did my own little thing. And it was
like crossed your fingers.
Yeah.
Oh well, I'm glad that worked out well for you.
Yeah. So,
do you think that Christmas time does it have to be? Do you think it's important that you have to spend it with your family?
No,
because a lot of people, perhaps particularly in our community, might have a bit of a fractious relationship with their family.
Yeah.
So a lot of people can only enjoy it if it's separate.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one. Okay. I'm getting mad now. I have a lot of feelings about this. No one should even for a second feel obliged to spend Christmas with people they don't want to spend Christmas with, because Christmas is meant to be a joyous time and a fun time, and it's supposed to be nice and happy. And if this is something I've been going through, like with a lot of my American friends, because Thanksgiving obviously has just come and gone, and so they have like a whole month of this, and the angst and pressure and anger and resentment and fear that they have having to go and spend time with their family members that they don't like. Do you know what I say? Don't go there.
But what if you don't want to go home, right? So the only way you can be happy is to not go home.
Yeah.
But that then condemns your mum into having a miserable Christmas. And the only way she can be happy is if she has her children with her.
Too bad is what I say to that. Because, no, you can work out... No, sorry, no. You can work out a way around this. Because if you have family members that are hateful or horrible or make you feel miserable...
Hey, man.
Cut them off.
Yeah.
Yes, you cut them off. Yeah, agree. But maybe, for instance, just so I'm going to make up a hypothetical situation.
All right,
so
go on.
I get on quite well with mum.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
In fact, I love mum. We're very close. Make it that.
Yep.
But if I go home to Christmas, then I'd have to see my dad, who hates me, and I hate him.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to go home because that makes me feel bad. But then it'll destroy my lovely mum. So what do you do then?
Sorry, no, that's a false equivalency. If you have to spend time with someone who you have made to feel very uncomfortable around or hate or make you feel sad,
yeah,
that is not the same as being a little bit upset because your son's not around.
Yeah, but that's true.
It's not a little bit upset, it's devastated.
No, that's not. It's still not the same. Devastated is it's on a scale. You being upset that someone's not around is not as bad as being crushed because someone is around.
Okay, what if you don't want to go to family Christmas because your uncle always makes sly comments about your weight?
We've stopped being hypothetical now.
Yeah, what if he says, like going to a burger?
No, what about when my uncle actually said, when's it due?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And were you pregnant?
No, I was 12.
No.
What?
Yeah.
No, okay, so does Harry have to go home?
No!
Does that uncle, will he be at Christmas? If you're at home this year, would he be at Christmas, that uncle?
No.
Is he fit? I bet he's got a lovely body too, that uncle.
No, not really.
No.
Not really. No, but he was always that, you know, like how there's just one person in your family who's a bit of a dick.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to call him Uncle Nobbed because he was just the
Uncle
worst.
Uncle Nobbed.
He's just the worst. And he always had like the worst jokes. He had wicker shoes. It was just awful.
My mum and uncle tell me often the story. They had, you've got an uncle, Uncle Nobbed, you say?
Yeah.
They had an auntie bovine.
Oh.
Because she was a horrible
she had
woman.
Full stomachs?
No, she was a horrible, horrible old woman.
Oh.
Is bovine a cow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Her name is Janice. Oh,
All right, that's enough. Wrap it up.
There are no relatives in Melbourne. Whatever. Auntie Janice, Auntie Bovine. But no, you know, if an uncle, if you go to Christmas and an uncle or a distant relative starts commenting your weight, you just walk up to them real slowly, get right up in their face and say, what? And make them repeat it.
Right.
And then headbutt them.
All so right. Will you have to work hard to avoid your grandma at Christmas?
No, because she's at Hervey Bay and I will be in Brisbane.
Okay.
And every time someone, a friend or a relative has said, so are you going to Hervey Bay? I'm like, no!
You know, that's actually a good tip. Putting physical distance between you, then it's not like you're just around the corner and not coming around for Christmas lunch. You
need geography is your friend. Yeah. Yeah.
Just quickly, it's just a side note on that. So putting distance, people say nasty things. What about when I FaceTime Nan and she goes, how's the weight? What do I do then?
Well, the weight's good.
The weight's
good. So she's just being caring at the moment.
Right, okay,
yeah,
cool.
It's when you yo-yo back up that it's going to be... That's when it'll really be cutting. And she'll know it. Nan will know it. Because she knows. Well, you FaceTime her, so she knows how the weight is. It's not a phone call. You're back on the tag team this morning. It's 22 minutes to 9. You are on the tag team.
Guys.
Yes, darling.
Now, I don't know if you know this, but last week Hunter talked about bumping into his ex. He's never bumped into him before the whole time you were separated. And didn't come across him, then smack bang into him.
Bam! Right into him.
And that led to you having a celebrity humiliation.
Yes, you have pretty much just told the story. So would you like to ask me any more questions about it?
What happened?
So what happened?
I was, for work, yes. I was talking to Robert Williams, the popular pop singer.
Oh, yes, Robert Williams.
Robert Williams, formerly of Take That, now solo superstar. And he had this sort of special power over me where he was asking me questions about my private life, and I just spilt it all. So
really?
I told him, exactly, so I told him the breakup story about my ex, and then he was asking me, oh, have you ever been to London? I said, oh, I lived there with my ex. Oh, what happened to your ex? Oh, we broke up. And then he's like, oh, have you seen him since? And I was like, well, as it happens, Robbie, I just saw him on Saturday. And he's like, no. And then I told the whole story. Oh, we're there. We ran into each other. And then he was like, made me reenact the conversation. And it was like he was a relationship counselor. Then Robbie goes, it sounds like he was quite short with you. Long silence. Did you hurt him?
Oh! And did you?
And then I was like, oh, I think I might have, yeah. And then I could, in my brain, I was like, stop telling Robbie Williams about, stop telling about your breakup, back. Anyway, so now I think he's an unstable. And also we shared photos of each other's cats.
Really?
I got out my cat photos.
What's his cat like?
So I just want to, I think Robbie Williams probably left the country thinking, what a cool dude he was.
I'm going to say, so, okay. So I've been led to believe all morning that you were going to tell a story about celebrity humiliation.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is that Robbie Williams is a new best friend?
No, Robbie Williams thinks that I'm an emotionally unstable cat lady.
Did he show you photos of his cat?
No, but we did have this great conversation where he was like, oh, I've got like 10 dogs. And I was like, oh, God, there must be a lot of poop to pick up. And he was like, I don't pick up poop on Robbie Williams. I'm like, That's a great point. Somebody else probably picks up that poop.
That still doesn't sound to me like a humiliating.
Oh, I found it humiliating. And I was there with my colleagues afterwards and they were like, what were you thinking?
Oh, my God.
It was not appropriate for you to tell him about your ex.
But I love that he made you tell it. He just brings that out of you.
Yeah, he did. He looked deep into my soul, and I just gave him what he wanted.
Do you think there's scope in Robbie Williams' future to be some kind of like guru talk show host where he gets people on? And
I do think that. Yeah, or / life coach.
Life coach. Yeah. Imagine being life coached by Robbie Williams.
Yeah, he'd probably give some dicey recommendations, but you'd have a bang up time.
You'd get a lot of regretful tattoos.
You'd have a bang up time. Oh yeah. Has he got? Oh, he does some regular tattoos. That's true.
He does have some very regrettable.
God, I could have told him about our horrible tattoo.
Our horrible one. Yeah. Anyway,
do you know Harry and I have a matching awful tattoos?
Wait, what?
Yeah,
I did not know this.
We do. We didn't get them together. We just both were the same awful young people and got the same matching awful tattoos.
Oh, I can't wait to see both of them.
Yeah. You'll never, ever be seeing both of them.
Oh, man.
Now, I met Jennifer Saunders once.
Oh, my God.
At a book sign-in. I queued for nigh on an hour to go and get my book signed. And all the way in the queue, I was like rehearsing what I was going to say. I got really nervous and went up there and told her that my gran buys most of my clothes for me. Got my book... Got my book signed and left. It was the worst.
If you've acted like a fool in front of a celebrity, we want to hear about it. 0427 Joy 949. We'll chuck a prize your way to make you like cheer you a little up. Cheer you up. You know what I'm trying to say.
Cheer you up.
Cheer you up. You, Chris, just looking at you, I can tell you would have humiliated yourself in front of a celebrity.
Oh, countless.
Countless times.
Awful. Oh, because I worked in another city radio station for many years and did or interviewed a lot of people, and like all of them, basically all of them. The most egregious being when I would ask sports players like questions about other sports, because I didn't know what sport they played.
Oh, what? So like rugby union rugby?
I'd ask them an AFL question and ask, so what do you think about this for blah 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 for the season? They're like, oh, that's a different sport, mate.
Oh,
that happened four times.
Four times?
Four times.
You need to improve your research.
Really
Thank God we're not interviewing sportsmen on this show. You're on the Tag Team. It's 17 minutes to 9. You're on Joy. You're back on the Tag Team. That is Em Rosciano there with her new song, Versions of Me. I don't know if we ever had an Em Rosciano single before. Is that the first one?
Possibly.
I feel like we've had a time of it.
Yeah. Oh, poor Harry can't get a headphones over her head.
Hat.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been comedy singles, but no like real life ones.
Yeah. Well, good for her. It is 11 minutes to 9, guys, and it's time for our favourite ever segment. It's Bloody Nan Talk.
Oh, wow, just went up to Nan.
When will death take me?
Harry, what's going on with Nan?
There's a couple of things. First off the bat, she has watched The Crown.
Oh, excellent. Because now, for listeners that don't know, your family is obsessed with the royals.
Yeah.
So when they saw that there's going to be a series about the royal family, I imagine they were just thrilled to the back teeth.
Yeah, they were. Most of them were.
And she's got Netflix, has she?
Yeah. Morgan set up a streaming service for her. Oh. So, and I said, well, what do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, what do I want to watch that for? I lived it. I remember when the king died. I've seen that all before. I was like, yeah, but don't you think like it was a good reenactment? No, I don't, because I was there. I remember it. I was like, oh, all right.
She was barely there.
She was barely
there.
There's
no way she remembers it.
No,
that clearly.
She said that I remember when I was when the king died. I was homesick, and my mother made me a piece of toast, and I wasn't allowed the piece of toast. Doctor came round. I had to hide the piece of toast under the bed, and he said...
It's all related to the king.
He said, Mrs. Williams, have you got the wireless on? And Iris, her mum, said, no, I haven't. He said, well... Got some sad news to tell you. And she thought that he was about to say my gran was dying. And Iris went, oh, yeah. And he said, the king has passed.
Oh, well, I take it back. She actually remembers it very clearly, and all because of a piece of toast.
All because of a piece of toast. So then she got a week off school.
A week off school. Because the king died.
Are we going to get a week off work when and if the queen dies? I say if because she may not.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Did she appreciate the acting, though? What did you think of Princess Margaret in the show?
I didn't watch it all the way. I give it a go. I watched the first 10 minutes.
The first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You wait. Next week, Pam Lye down the road will be watching it and she'll be all over it.
She'll be right back up on
movie
that
time with Gran. I bet that takes you back to Chris, does it? To some of the good times. Good times with your Gran.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Watching horror films together.
Is it my turn already? All right. Nantok, when I was 4 years old, I said I didn't like cherries.
Oh, well, who does?
Who does? I still don't like cherries. They're the devil's cysts. But my grandmother didn't believe me, and so she force-fed me cherries.
Again, not to stick up for grandma, but it does seem surprising that you don't like cherries.
Yes, but I don't. All right?
You're a pretty fruity guy.
Can you just eat a punnet for us just to prove it?
No!
At Christmas time, that ruins a lot of treats.
I don't...
What do you put in your trifle?
Not cherries.
You're not a fruit to the forest trifle, surely.
Like a Black Forest trifle?
Oh, God, no.
No, just... You know what? You can do without cherries. Just as a general rule.
How many cherries did she make you eat?
A good handful, because every time I shuddered from the taste because I didn't like them, A, she'd hit me with a sandal and then make me eat another one. So
yeah, but she couldn't have had very big hands. She surely got arthritis or something.
She was in her 40s at the time.
Oh, right, okay.
She used to hit you with a sandal.
Yeah, like a masseur sandal.
A masseur sandal?
Yeah, you know those masseur sandals?
I know, the ones even more painful.
Yeah, exactly.
Than just a traditional
flat. That was her flogging weapon of choice.
Those little paper ones they make you put on after you have a massage.
No, they like got...
You know what, Harry, you and I are going to fall out today.
How many cherries did you eat?
I don't remember.
Was it traumatic or not? Did it stick in your mind or not, Chris? Was it 10 or was it 100?
It was 100. It was an endless supply of cherries.
Oh, they must have been on special.
Yeah, there'd be a punish on the bowels too.
I am not talking to either of you anymore.
Stone's in or out, though? How cruel was she?
Out.
Out, all right. Oh, but that's fine. That was a treat. What you've done is your nan gave you a treat and you're misconstrued in this.
I'm so mad at both of you right now.
Another great session on the Nan Talk. It is 7:07. You're on the tag team on Joy. You're back on the tag team. It's nearly 9 o'clock, which means it's nearly time for us to get on out of here. But thank you very much for having us. And thank you, Chris, for your presence, your story about cherries, and your beautiful short shorts.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
I miss that all. And has you been the hit too, babe? So.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations to Brad, who won the double pass to Culture Club. That is on the 11th of December at 6 p.m. So you have a great time out there.
We will be back next week. And guys, bloody Merry Christmas. It is the 1st of December.
Oh, no,
you can now legitimately listen to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You on loop for the next 25 days.
It's the first day of summer. It's 17 degrees, heading for a top of 24. What more could you like? We've been the Tag Team. You're on Joy.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.